Hi, this is CJ Wilson for the Green Bay Packers, and you listen to Railbird Central.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Carvu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this upcoming weekend against the Atlanta Falcons. To look ahead to the Falcons, take a look, unfortunately, back at that game against the Lions. We have our weekly Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, joining us this morning. Nathan, hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, I had a very good Thanksgiving outside of the game, but seeing family was good, of course. I hope you and everyone listening also had a good Thanksgiving.
Well, thanks a lot. Let's talk about this Packers team that lost on Thanksgiving and try to figure out what's going wrong in Green Bay. On Tuesday, the Packers released safety Jerron McMillan. And Nathan, I guess what I want to know is he kind of a scapegoat for the Packers' troubles, or was he really playing that poorly this season that he deserved to be released?
I don't think he can really be the scapegoat since he hasn't really been playing all that much over this past month or so. So ever since things started going downhill, he also hadn't been playing. He's had just 7 defensive snaps since week 7. I think all of those were with the goal line defense, so he really hadn't been playing much. The return of Sean Richardson also made him more expendable, as well as the desire for having a third running back on the roster, so I think it was just he was the fifth safety on the roster, and the Packers needed to add someone, and he was the one most easy to drop. When he was playing earlier in the season, he really wasn't playing well. To put it simply, when quarterbacks threw to McMillan, they had an NFL passer rating of 150.9. So they had nearly a perfect passer rating when throwing to McMillan earlier this year.
Man. That is 150. That kind of caught me by surprise. That's about as bad as it can possibly get. And I remember the game against San Francisco against Anquan Boldin earlier in the year and how that was didn't look very good, but Nathan, taking McMillan's place on the roster was running back Khalil Bell. Now, what can you tell me about Bell based upon, you know, what he's done in previous seasons in the NFL? Had a few different stops, including with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, Bell has been playing for the Bears since 2009. In 2012, the Bears kind of gave up on him. He went to the Jets, and then the Jets cut him as well, and then the Bears got low on running back, so brought out back. He's had limited playing time in all of those stints. Over the last 2 years, he's had 14 players miss tackles on him on his 108 carries, so there's a little bit of promise there with how many players have been missing tackles on him in his limited opportunities. I know if you look at his conventional stats in 2012, his 2.6 yards per carry looks pretty bad. But a lot of that had to do with the offensive line. On average, he was getting contacted after just a half of a yard. So typically the defenders were on him right away, and a lot of that has to do with what happens in the offensive line. So overall, while he hasn't looked terrible over these last few years, it's not all that surprising that he hasn't spent this season on a roster either. There was nothing that really stood out, either positive or too negative for him.
Now, taking a look back at this game against the Lions on Thanksgiving, it's hard not to cringe at the play of the Packers' defense, I think. Of course, minus the turnovers. Somehow they got a lot of turnovers but couldn't do anything with them. And I know your stats don't always line up exactly with what the Packers as an organization might do, but, you know, head coach Mike McCarthy said the Packers missed 20 tackles in that one game alone. Who's missing so many tackles on this Packers defense, Nathan?
Yeah, it's not surprising that they have a different number for missed tackles than we did. We had a little bit fewer in that game, but it's probably just due to a different definition, which isn't a problem at all. Against the Lions specifically, it was MD Jennings who had 3 missed tackles, which was a little bit uncharacteristic of him, since he only had 4 missed tackles before that. So he previously hadn't had much of a problem, but really all of the Packers linebackers and defensive backs are below average at missing tackles this season, with the exceptions of Brad Jones, Nick Perry, and Devon House, with a few Packers being near the top of the league at their position, especially A.J. Hawk and Mike Neal. So a lot of players in general have been missing tackles outside of just a few of them.
Once again, B.J. Raji kind of appeared to be a non-factor in this Lions game, and I know we kind of talked about B.J. Raji in the past in the aftermath of that report about the Packers offering him $8 million a year, but, you know, ever since that report, he hasn't done anything, anything significant at least. Well, where does he rank among other defensive linemen in the NFL this season, Nathan?
Again, in this past game, he was basically invisible. Over these past 4 games, he has a total of 1 tackle and 1 hurry, and neither of those came on Thanksgiving Day, so he really hasn't been doing all that much. We consider him a 3-4 defensive end this year since he hasn't been playing as much nose tackle, so comparing him to the other 3-4 defensive ends, he's rated as the 2nd lowest so far this season. Although not far behind is Baden Jones, who is our 4th lowest, and Johnny Jolly, who is our 6th worst. So really, all of the Packers' defensive line hasn't looked good. It's just Raji that stands on more, since we expect more out of him.
And pardon me if I missed this. This is just among 3-4 teams that you're saying, or is this
This is just 3-4 defensive ends, so not comparing them to 4-3 teams, since those players have different roles and whatnot, so just comparing it to other 3-4 defensive ends.
Very good. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central this morning, taking a look at the offense. Now, in that game against the Lions, once Evan Dietrich Smith was injured at the center position, it didn't seem like the Packers' offensive line could get anything going, and not that they were doing a whole lot with him in the game, but, I mean, how much do the Packers miss Dietrich Smith and kind of the ripple effect he has on other players filling in at those positions on the right side of the offensive line then?
Yeah, I think it has a big impact on the offensive line. There's a small one in run blocking. Dietrich Smith's better at pass protection than he is at run blocking. Although in this game, Dietrich Smith did look good in run blocking. He was probably the only Packers offensive line who was looking good in run blocking against the Lions. But where the big effect happens is pass protection. Over these last 9 games, Dietrich Smith has only allowed 5 pressures, so that's almost a pressure every other game, which is really good. He is tied for 9th best in terms of pass blocking efficiency among centers. And if you ignore those first 3 games where he allowed some of his pressure, he would be near the very top. So while Dietrich Smith has been very good in pass protection, when he goes out, it's typically been Marshall Newhouse who has come in. And in this game, he allowed a sack and a hurry on 14 pass block snaps. In the season as a whole, he's allowed 3 sacks, 4 hits, and 13 hurries in these last 5 games. So it's been a huge difference in terms of pass protection, whether it's Dietrich Smith in or Newhouse in. And then in this game, both Lane Taylor and Derek Schrott each got a low sample size of snaps, so it's a little hard to make a judgment on them, but really it's not a good thing for the pass protection when Evan Dietrich Smith has to go out.
Now, we talked about the offensive line, and you know, I want to kind of go into a discussion here on quarterback Matt Flynn. And how much fault can you place on the performance of Matt Flynn against the Lions, considering he didn't get much help from the offensive line? He, was constantly pressured. David Bakhtiari, I know, had a bad day. So how much can we fault Matt Flynn for a bad performance on Thanksgiving?
I think we can fault him a little bit. I think he has just as much fault as a number of other players, since there is the fact that he was under pressure on nearly half of his dropbacks, which really doesn't help him. On the 13 dropbacks he was under pressure. He was sacked 7 times and had an interception compared to just 3 completed passes. So you'd like to see a player do a little bit better under pressure than he was doing, but a lot of that did have to do with the offensive line. However, when he was not under pressure, he still just completed 7 of 15 passes for 107 yards, which over half of those were coming on the 56-yard pass that he had later on in the game. So while it's hard to blame him much for all the struggles he had when he was under pressure, you would like to see a quarterback complete a little over half of his passes when he's not under pressure, which is something Flynn wasn't able to do.
All right, on Sunday, this upcoming Sunday, the Packers take on an Atlanta Falcons team that's been one of the bigger disappointments in the NFL this season. What can you tell us about this Falcons team as the Packers still are alive for a playoff spot and are trying to get a win here this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's very possible the Packers could get a win in this one, looking at all of the matchups in this one that could be in the Packers' favor. First off, the Falcons have a lot of holes in their offensive line, starting with their left tackle, Lamar Holmes, who's one of the worst starting left tackles in the league. So Clay Matthews should hopefully be able to take advantage of that matchup. Also in the interior of their offensive line, former Badger Peter Kunz hasn't looked good either. So he is also someone that Mike Daniels, I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Daniels lines up a bit against Kunz in this one. The Falcons' biggest offensive target is still Tony Gonzalez, so hopefully the Packers can game plan well against him since they've had a little trouble against tight ends in the past. The Falcons' defense has very little pass rush, so hopefully the Packers have some time to throw, which they haven't had as much in these past few games. But every single player on the Falcons' defensive line has a negative pass rush rating, according to our metrics, so no one's all that good in pass rushing. The Falcons do have some good defensive linemen against the run led by Jonathan Babineau, but they've allowed some huge games to running backs recently. So as long as the Packers, especially their interior offensive line, as long as they can pass or run block fine, the Packers, Eddie Lacy, should have a big game in this one. And then the Falcons secondary has been very average this year. Their safety, Thomas DeKalb, has had a down year, while their first-round rookie, Desmond Trufant, who plays the entire game at right cornerback, has been having a good year. But I could see the Packers running the ball a lot in this game. And when they do throw, they should have more time to throw than they've had in the past.
Hopefully that's the case. As usual, we thank you, Nathan, for joining us here on Railbird Central this morning, and we'll talk to you again next week to take a look back at the Falcons game and ahead to the next one.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Once again, thanks to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com for joining us on the show, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we get ready for a Packers game against the Falcons this upcoming weekend. Kind of discussing some of the items in the news. Of course, yesterday gaining the headlines was the release of Packers safety Jerron McMillan. He becomes the highest member of the 2012 draft class to be released. Previously, before that, Terrell Manning had been released at training camp, now a member of the Chargers practice squad last I saw. Anyway, talking about Jerron McMillan, though, kind of disappointing. A fourth-round draft choice. Packers giving up on him yesterday in order to get Khalil Bell. Had to make room on the roster. And of course, Jerron McMillan has had a poor season. And that really caught me by surprise to hear that NFL quarterbacks had a passer rating of over 150 when throwing in his direction. I mean, a perfect passer rating is what it's in the 150s. What is it, like 158 or something? You can't do much worse. You can't do much better than they did in throwing in Jerron McMillan's direction. But yeah, Jerron McMillan, the Packers giving up on him, it was probably time. He had not looked good. What disappointing is he had an encouraging rookie season. He didn't play a ton. He never started, but he got a fair amount of playing time as a rookie simply because of injuries, if nothing else. But he looked okay last year, and you thought, okay, with the jump players typically make from year one to year two, or just improvement in general, that he's going to be a better player. And it just never happened. And he probably actually regressed in year two. And there was kind of it was really, talk about the off season last year. When you have months and months to look forward to a season, you're talking February, March, April, May, June. Those 4 or 5 months, there was a lot of attention on Jerron McMillan potentially becoming the next Packers starting safety opposite Morgan Burnett. He was kind of engaged in this battle all along with M.D. Jennings and never really took advantage of the opportunity, never really could, grab that starting job by the horns and pull away with it. Never materialized that way. Jerron McMillan, was a liability in coverage more than anything else. He was, strong in the box, but in today's day and age in the NFL where they pass more than they throw, you got to be good against the pass in order to play. And Jerron McMillan just wasn't that type of player. So now, the Packers have Chris Banjo, they have Sean Richardson, and with those guys in the fold, they were had the luxury of letting Jerron McMillan go. And I see on the live blog, I saw some people talking about earlier, it's scrolled by now, but kind of lamenting the play of M.D. Jennings as well and how he doesn't deserve to be out there. And I'll tell you what, I don't think M.D. Jennings deserves to be cut right now. I'm not saying anything about the offseason. His time might be coming eventually when the offseason comes. But the Packers are just so injured right now, I don't think you cut anybody. But, yesterday in Mike McCarthy's press conference, he kind of hinted that changes are coming. He wouldn't get into specifics. He obviously doesn't want to tip his hat to the Falcons or any opponent about what's coming, who's going to be playing. But he did kind of hint that changes were coming. Maybe some players will be playing more than others. And what I do think the Packers have to do, not cut M.D. Jennings, but it's time for a switch, I think, in the secondary there. In order for a guy like, I think they should give Sean Richardson a shot and see what he can do at safety. Even Chris Banjo, I think, deserves perhaps maybe more of a shot than M.D. Jennings has gotten, although Chris Banjo hasn't done much this regular season, albeit in limited opportunities. I think it's time to get M.D. Jennings out of there, out of the starting lineup, and he should be a backup. And you know what? I think it would actually behoove the Packers special teams to give M.D. Jennings a greater role there. M.D. Jennings, we've talked about this before, he's kind of small, but he's always been a tough, willing tackler. We can't fault M.D. Jennings for that. And I think that works in his favor on special teams. Why not have a guy who wants to risk life and limb on those type of units? The type of guy who's going to sell out and throw his body around. That's a good thing for special teams. So decrease his role on defense, increase his role on special teams. I think it's a win-win situation. That way you can get a guy like Sean Richardson involved. I mean, at what point here is it going to hurt anymore? I mean, the Packers basically have to win out if they have even a hope of making the playoffs, and I'm not sure how realistic that is, but regardless, I think there's no hurt in trying that, and I tweeted out the same thing yesterday when asked a question by a reader about the new addition of Khalil Bell. They're asking, will Khalil Bell, the new free agent signing, will he be used on kickoff returns? And my response is, can't hurt. I mean, at this point in the season, when the Packers have tried so many things and few have worked, I mean, what the heck? Give him a shot. Micah Hyde isn't doing anything on kickoff returns. He's doing fine on punt returns. I think that he's okay back there. But on kickoff returns, what the heck? Give him a chance and see if he can spark something. Can't be any worse than what the Packers have had unless he fumbles. So just hang on to the ball, Khalil Bell, and we'll see what you got. But, in other news, of course, people are wondering about quarterback Aaron Rodgers. And we're in the same boat as we were a week ago, practically. Aaron Rodgers talked about it on his weekly radio show on the ESPN radio affiliates in Milwaukee and Madison. On Tuesday, he was set to have these scans on his shoulder, as reported by ESPN's Ed Werder earlier yesterday. And Rodgers talked about that on his show and said he was disappointed, hoped for better news. And basically, you know, he's not cleared to play yet. Also echoed by Mike McCarthy in his Tuesday press conference. Aaron Rodgers is not cleared to play. Matt Flynn will get the starters reps in practices, although they are not yet ruling Aaron Rodgers out. And it go, you know, it's been this way last week, but prior to the game against the Lions, you remember Aaron Rodgers actually practiced for the first time since breaking his collarbone the last practice before that Lions game. I think on Tuesday he practiced, or was it Wednesday? I don't remember. But he actually came back to practice, and they thought, well, there's a slim chance that he'll play, and they ended up holding Aaron Rodgers out, and, you know, that really didn't come as a surprise. But now he's got a chance. There is a chance that Aaron Rodgers could return for the Falcons game, and you know, more to the point, you know, there was these reports this week earlier, I think on Monday they were happening, was it even Sunday, that the Packers would consider shutting Aaron Rodgers down for the season. And Mike McCarthy said in his press conference, there's been no internal discussions about shutting Aaron Rodgers down for the season. He will be given an opportunity to play if he's healthy. And I think that's the right choice. But again, I mean, he has to get healthy. So we'll see when it comes. They said those scans, the results of the scans were not positive or not positive enough, you know, for him to be cleared this week. You know, whether that means that they won't be cleared in time for the end of the regular season, I don't really know. But we'll find out. We kind of sit here and wait, play a waiting game. You know, they'll give Aaron Rodgers probably pretty much up until game time to see if the bone is sufficiently healed enough where he has his strength and flexibility back to where it needs to be in order for him to play. So, you know, we'll kind of watch the week of practice here, maybe see if he practices Thursday or Friday. Also, in terms of practice this week, kind of waiting to see if Evan Dietrich Smith practices today. I think a lot of people were worried in the aftermath of the Lions game, seeing Dietrich Smith suffer the second knee injury of the season, in which he had to come out of a game and not return. So I think people kind of feared the worst when they saw that happen, but apparently not going to hold him out at least for the rest of the season. Mike McCarthy said he was encouraged that he felt, or Evan Dietrich Smith felt, like, you know, the time off after Thanksgiving, kind of a little bit of a mini bye week, helped him in his recovery, and was hoping to actually see him at practice today. So if there's any chance that Aaron Rodgers plays, it's going to be important that Evan Dietrich Smith is available, not just to have him in the game, but to prevent the kind of switching that happens, the shifting that happens along the offensive line that puts TJ Lang at center and then some sort of odd combination on the right side of the offensive line, whatever the Packers feel like doing. They've done different things the past few games there when injuries have occurred. But so anyway, it'll be important to have Dietrich Smith back, and it looks like he will. I can't guarantee he's going to practice today, but you know that was the indication, and you know maybe if he doesn't practice today, maybe he'll at least be back by the end of the week or something like that. So definitely, definitely good news for the Packers offensive line there, and the offense and team as a whole as well. The odds of winning certainly get much greater the healthier the Packers get, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Evan Dietrich Smith, or anybody else who's missing games because they're injured. You know, guys who missed the game last week, Jamari Lattimore, C.J. Wilson, Brandon Bostic, all those guys missed the game. Hopefully they will be back, although we'll kind of see later today what their status is as they try to make a comeback. Kind of some negative news. Randall Cobb is not looking like he's going to make a comeback this season. Nothing is official. There's still time, but as Mike McCarthy acknowledged yesterday, and as we wrote about on the blog earlier this week after a comment from Drew Smith of Fox 11 in Green Bay, who hosts Inside the Huddle along with Randall Cobb on Mondays, had taken to Twitter and talked about his discussion with Randall Cobb, saying he hasn't yet been cleared to run. Now, as you remember, Randall Cobb reportedly broke his fibula in a collision. Did that happen against Baltimore, I think, is the game that happened. He was placed on short-term injured reserve. And when you remember the rules that NFL teams can only place one player on short-term injured reserve that can come back. Those players have to stay out for, can't practice for 6 weeks, and they can't play for 8 weeks. Well, the 6 weeks is up. Randall Cobb is actually eligible to return to practice this week, but is not doing so. He's not only can't practice, he hasn't even been cleared to run. Now, with only a month left in the season, things aren't looking good that Randall Cobb is going to be able to come back in time. The first game that he's eligible to play is the Dallas Cowboys game, and that's, well, what is that? That's next week, right? Week 15 in the NFL. So, the odds that Randall Cobb comes back at all are slim, and you know, if it's only one game left in the season that he is eligible to return, is it even worth doing for one game? Perhaps it would be if the Packers playoff spot was still on the line at that point, but you know, we'll come to that road when we cross it, or whatever the saying is. But yeah, so not good news for Randall Cobb this week, or for Packer fans hoping for Randall Cobb's return, I suppose you could state it that way. That's kind of the status of the Packers here on a Wednesday as they begin preparations today for the Atlanta Falcons. We know the situation. Packers mathematically alive for a playoff spot. They basically have to win out. Maybe not mathematically. They could probably, there is a situation in which they could only win, you know, 3 out of 4 and still make the playoffs. But, those odds are rather slim. They basically have to win out, hope the Lions lose twice, which, you know, isn't out of the realm of possibility, but the Packers do need help. But, you know, as long as they're alive, they're going to keep fighting, and hope that they can get a little help from other teams in the NFL and keep those slim playoff hopes alive. So we'll find out what the Packers do this week. We'll be back again on Friday to kind of preview this Falcons game a little bit more as we have Railbird Central every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Cheesehead TV. But anyway, on behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. And by the way, everybody, please go read Jamie Snowden's column posted at Cheesehead TV. You can find it if you're listening live, you can scroll all the way down to the bottom right-hand side of the page and click that link, or just check it out on our homepage once we don't have the homepage taken over. Anyway, Jamie wrote a great column this week about her job blogging at Cheesehead TV. So, anyway, we'll see you later, everyone. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all weekend long. I leave you today with a song called Barker by Keller Williams on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.